1116 SEN. This is The Grippers with Simon Helmut and Brayden Ingram.
Yes, hello. This is The Grippers. We've got another cracking show for you today. Plenty of cricket up and about now. The Matador One Day Cup just about to finish off with the two finals remaining. You've got the PM's 11 playing the Cricket Australia 11, both playing against the New Zealand sides ahead of the first test at the Gabba on November 5. Sean Marsh, he's in the running to be in that side. He joins us and we'll have a chat with us soon. I'm Brayden Ingram, and joining me as always is my co-host Simon Helmut. Helmo, welcome to you, mate.
Great to see you, Brado. There's pink balls, yellow balls, all different colour balls are using in cricket now. We don't just talk about red ball cricket and white ball cricket, so it's all happening.
Exactly. The pink ball, it's a lot of there's a lot of contention about that at the moment, isn't there? Do we like it? A lot of players have come out and said no. The New Zealand as well, they're warming to it. It's going to be interesting come November 27, and even the Sheffield Shield round coming up soon as well.
If you're winning, you'll like the ball. If you're losing, then you'll be an excuse. Don't worry about that.
Now, mate, there's been plenty of topics around, and we'll get to them to cover them. We've got the West Indies. We've got, as we mentioned, we've got Hawkeye. We've got the Matador One Day Cup finishing off. Brenda Saywag's retired. The Bush Rangers, Sheffield Shield getting away soon. But we need to start off with West Indies cricket. Garfield Sobers. So Garfield Sobers has come out this week and has made a tearful speech about where West Indies cricket sits at the moment. Let's have a quick listen to what he said before we get into it.
As I have always said, I have never made a run for me. I have always played for the West Indies team, you know, and it was such a pleasure and joy to be able to do what I did. You know, records meant nothing. The team was important. I don't think we have that kind of person today. We might have them in different countries. We might have them in Sri Lanka. We might have them in England, in Australia. But I don't think we have that kind of person in West Indies cricket anymore, who is quite prepared to play and to give it everything to their country. And that hurts. And until we can get people who are willing to play for West Indies in the right way, I think that we're going to be struggling for a long time.
It's certainly very sobering listening, isn't it, Helmo?
Nice pun there too, Brad. Very sobering. Yes. But, well, what a heartfelt speech. And no doubt the West Indies team responded straight away with some a good performance in day one against their test match against Sri Lanka. He's a wonderful man, Sir Garfield Sobers. Had the pleasure of meeting him over during the CPL this season. Yep. And if you like, he's the godfather of West Indian cricket. And his emotion, his raw emotion that he showed and displayed with that speech was unbelievable. And I think, you know, he's really concerned about the status of West Indies cricket. He's concerned about the players and their priorities. I mean, you talk to guys who played in the 80s and 90s in those wonderful, brilliant West Indies teams. They only got paid when they played. Yep. Speaking of Desi Haynes and Gordon Greenidge, they went out every time they went out on the ground. They knew
playing
they had
for pride,
to play. Absolutely,
and respect.
And that's the team have never stopped, never changed. There might be one or two injuries with a bowler, but apart from that, yep, that side was the same. And look, I think Sir Garfield Sobers, he's doing his bit to try and redirect and get West Indies cricket back on the map, because he's right, it's in some serious strife at the moment.
The sad thing is, and the fact is, that the West Indies as a whole, I mean, it's a group of nations, a group of countries. It's an impoverished area. I mean, it's third world. You've spent a fair bit of time there, Helmo. I mean, there's a lot of poverty there. And when money's on offer, you can understand why that, yeah, this wasn't on offer to your Holdings, your Sobers, Richards. They played for pride. They played for respect. Now money comes into the equation and they've got families and they've got everything like that, and they get a lifestyle that no one that they've really ever known has had to experience. And you can understand why they take it. But we know it's a rabble. I mean, they haven't won a test series against anyone since 2012. That was against New Zealand. They're eighth ranked in ODIs and tests. They're a long way. And given the fact you've mentioned it multiple times, Phil Simmons, their coach, newly appointed coach, has been suspended for making comments that the board's deemed inappropriate. They're not paying players. It's hard to see, unless the ICC or someone steps in, things changing, because the money's in T20. Players in Australia, it's not an issue. And 2020 has actually produced a number of good test cricketers for Australia. It's just not the case in the West Indies, though. Not players that can last in that longer format anyway.
No, you're right. There's other choices people are making. And I think the infrastructure and the resources of West Indies cricket is partly to blame. The administration is partly to blame for this. But if you get enough people like Sir Garfield Sobers and some other former greats who have got influence, who people listen to, there can be a groundswell and things can actually change. And I'm sure by him making these comments, and this is the first time, I think, that someone's actually of his status is actually made some really, really simple but true judgments. And hopefully the West Indies cricket, but hopefully the cricket as a whole, is going to respond after his comments and we do something about it, because it's very, very sad.
Now, something that I did heard, and it was slightly upsetting, was that Michael Holding said, look, I don't want to hear what Sir Garfield said. One, because I just don't want to be saddened by it, but two, I just want to wash my hands of West Indies cricket. I've tried, you know, we've tried to fix it, we've tried to do various things, but it is just a basket case. I mean, that's probably the sadder of the two things that come out of it. And another absolute great says, look, I'm happy to focus on cricket, but don't want anything to do with the West Indies.
Yeah, well, he's frustrated. So he's done his best to try and fix things. It hasn't worked. So this is probably a last-ditch effort. And so Garfield's, you know, used this medium to try and change what's happening in West Indies cricket.
We'll certainly hope that when they come out here to Australia in early December, they can put on a decent show. I mean, there's a lot of concerns. It'll be 2 or 3 day tests. Hopefully, we don't see that. And a man that would like to be a part of that series and the series before that against the New Zealanders is Sean Marsh. He's in the running now to play in the first test. He plays in the Cricket Australia 11 game tomorrow against New Zealand at Manuka Oval. And it's a warm welcome to Sean Marsh. Afternoon, mate.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, thanks for joining us. You had a pretty strong Matador One Day Cup. You were top run scorer, 390 runs at 65. You must be feeling like you're in pretty good form at the moment heading into the key part of the summer.
Yeah, look, it was nice personally to get a few runs. You know, feeling really happy with my game at the moment. And yeah, look, obviously as a team we had a disappointing campaign, but you know, look, on a personal note, it was nice to get out there and hit a few balls in the middle.
Your first 100 was against South Australia. 109 was a 216 run partnership with Cameron Bancroft. He's certainly come along in leaps and bounds pretty quickly, hasn't he?
Yeah, look, he certainly has. You know, he's a great young kid and. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed opening and batting with him in this competition. And just the amount that he's improved over the last 12 to 18 months has just been unbelievable. And, you know, he's certainly a bright player for Australia. And, you know, I think he's going to have a long future.
And after a difficult Ashes campaign, how did you find getting back into the Matador One Day Cup? Was it good to have a month off and then really be able to reset and get back into the summer?
Yeah, look, it was nice to get home for a month and recharge the batteries, I guess. You know, it was obviously a disappointing trip over to England with losing the Ashes and you know, not getting the runs that I would have liked in that test. And yeah, look, as you said, it was nice to get home and just, like I said, refreshing up and get myself ready for hopefully a big summer.
So it's last season you guys were champions in the Matador Cup, but it didn't quite work for you this season. Could you put your finger on why it didn't work so well, yeah, this particular season?
Yeah, look, like I said before, it was really disappointing with the team that we had on paper. As a group, we should have performed a lot better. And look, we just didn't start the tournament well. You know, there was games that we sort of that we should have won, whether it was with the bat or ball, and we just didn't you know, play together well. You know, for a full 100 overs, and in that format, as you know, mate, you can be off your game for 5% and you'll get beaten. And, yeah, we just weren't good enough and it was disappointing.
Hey, how did you find the particular wickets? Obviously, Blacktown, there was Des Moines, there was North Sydney. Seemed to behave a little differently to what you usually get in first-class cricket, you know, around the country. How did you find them? Obviously, you scored okay.
Yeah, look, I thought the wickets were pretty slow. I thought, you know, batting first gave the teams obviously a big advantage in winning the game. And as the game went on, the wickets just got slower and lower and it became harder to bat and chase runs. So, yeah, look, they weren't too bad, but obviously they weren't, you know, as good as the Wacker or the Gabba or the MCG and stuff like that.
Now, Manuka Oval is the venue for tomorrow's CA11 game against New Zealand. It also has a bit of a reputation of being a little bit slow. Is that what you're expecting tomorrow, Sean?
Look, I've played a few games here over the last few years now. We played the Shield final here a few seasons ago and obviously the Big Bash final last year. And look, I think the wickets were pretty good. They were pretty flat. And, you know, it's a lovely ground to play at as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that and getting out there tomorrow and playing against the Kiwis and hopefully, you know, getting a few runs.
Soss coming into the Australian Test Series and our home games here. Obviously, for you, mate, you're continually wanting to throw your hat in the ring and get those positions. You're still as, I suppose, as excited and keen to obviously, you know, be wearing the baggy green?
Yeah, definitely. You know, yeah, 100%. You know, I'm trying not to think about it too much at the moment. I'm just trying to keep my mind in the present and you know, trying to get as many runs as I possibly can for WA and obviously tomorrow for the Cricket Australia 11 and just, you know, working hard on my preparation and if all that goes well, then we'll see what happens. But, you know, definitely a burning desire to still play at the top level.
When your name's continually talked about, you know, whether, you know, Sean Marsh is going to be in or out, how do you relax? How do you sort of put that out of your mind? Because like you said, the selectors, they're the ones who decide all you can do is make as many runs as you can. How do you keep yourself mentally fresh and don't get bogged down with all the media speculation?
Yeah, it's a good question. For me, it's just trying to block it out as much as you can. Obviously, you know it's there, you're aware of it, but... Like I said before, I really just try and keep my mind in the present, wherever that is, whether it's with WA or, back at club cricket or, like I said, Cricket Australia 11 tomorrow, just trying to do everything I possibly can there to do well and give myself every opportunity to perform well. So, that's basically it, mate.
I caught up with your dad a few weeks ago up at the Centre of Excellence. He reckons the only beer that he had over at the Ashes was the one where the camera got on him. He was watching you and your brother. But I coached my son at the under-12s, a bit of a lower level than state cricket or international cricket. What's it like having your dad around as one of the assistant coaches?
Yeah, look, it's good, mate. He's obviously had a fantastic career himself and brings a wealth of knowledge to our group. And he loves being around the WA cricket boys. He's got a real passion for WA cricket and wanting to see WA perform and win finals. And he's got a great relationship with every player down there, and they all love him. So he's fitted in really well down there over the last few years. And I guess it's good to have him down there and seeing him a bit more often than I would do if he wasn't down there.
Speaking with Western Australian opening batsman Sean Marsh. Sean, the pink ball, that's the topic of conversation heading into this summer, the day-night test starting November 27 at the Adelaide Oval. Today's PM 11 game is a pink ball game, and there's a Sheffield Shield round starting next week that also is trialling the pink ball. What have your experiences been with it, and has it been positive or negative for you?
Oh, look, I think it's obviously here to stay, so whatever... people are thinking about it, they've got to get used to it now. And I think playing that Shield game last year with the pink ball, there were certainly different aspects that were good and bad, and players are just going to have to get used to it. And obviously with the first Shield game coming up next week with the pink ball, and there's a test match in a month or so with the pink ball as well, so guys are just going to get used to it now. And it's certainly different when you do play with the pink ball.
So not only is your dad involved, obviously, with the Whackers still, but, your brother's obviously, in and around the Australian setup. What's it like having your bro, involved in that? And do you help each other out? And at times, are you even contesting for spots? I know he's more the all-rounder spot, but, I suppose it's a different dynamic to most others.
Yeah, it is. I've really enjoyed travelling around Mitch over the last, 12, 18 months. And, we've got a really good relationship and we're really close as brothers, and we're best of mates. So look, we always want the best for each other. I probably get more nervous watching Mitch go out there and bat or bowl than what I do, and I think it's similar to him as well. So look, we just want each other to do well, and playing for Australia together has just been an absolute dream come true, and traveling around the world with him has been great fun.
Sean, last one before you let you go. You mentioned your brother Mitch. Bit of an incident between you two a couple of days ago. The Cricket Australia 11 game, you went on and made a 186. Unfortunately, he was run out for five while you were at the crease. Whose fault was that, yours or his?
Yeah, look, it was definitely my fault. He hasn't really spoken to him so much since. So, look, it was just one of them things, There's nothing good when it comes to a run out in a game of cricket, let alone your brother as well being out there. So, look, it was disappointing at the time, and I take full responsibility, and I've certainly taken him out for a few dinners since then to try and make him feel a bit better about it.
Well, I reckon the Marsh boys are doing a lot better. I reckon the Wars were terrible batting with each other. Hussies, I'll tell you what, dinners. I reckon David owes Michael 15 lunches or whatever. I reckon you and Mitch are doing okay, Soss.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
Sean, thank you very much for your time, mate. Good luck for the CA 11 game tomorrow and for the rest of the summer.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me once again, eh?
Great catching up with Western Australian opening batsman Sean Marsh. I imagine we'll be talking about him throughout the summer, Helmo, and we might be talking about him in our next segment as well. It's 6 in 6. It's the over. We're going to go through the six most important or the most topical little points that are floating around cricket at the moment. I'm going to start off by asking you. We're going to try and keep this to time. We'll see how we go.
Six in six. There,
exactly. We can rabbit on a bit.
Might be a couple of no balls and wides in this.
Exactly. Given New South Wales' dominance into the Matador One Day Cup final, they only lost to Victoria by about 20 runs, almost got the job done. Should the Matador One Day Cup have a cap on international players to even it out a little bit?
No way. Should have as many international players as you like. But what they could do in New South Wales, have a country team and have a metropolitan team, because they are a force. So let's have 8 teams. Let's have 7 teams, but 2 teams. They're doing that with the juniors now, under 17s, under 19s. They have a country and a city.
Yep.
And I think the same with Victoria too. The big states have got 2 teams in those youth carnivals. One for you, mate.
Yep.
Who opens with David Warner at the Gabba? Is it Sean Marsh, Joe Burns, Cameron Bancroft, or someone else?
Well, I think you can rule out Joe Burns straight away. I think if he plays, it'll be middle order. I know he's been floated around in topics, but I can't see him opening. I think it's Bancroft and Marsh. I think they're going to go with Bancroft purely for the fact, look, he had a really, really good Matador One Day Cup, 335 at 55. Sean Marsh, obviously, very good as well. But I think they want to give Bancroft an opportunity. He's shown plenty of patience, shows that he's willing to wait around at the crease. Sean Marsh has had plenty of opportunities. You and I were talking before. I've got my doubts on Sean Marsh, but you were saying you think he still might be a show, but I think you give youth an opportunity now against New Zealand, are a tough side. Give him a really good opportunity and see how he goes in that format.
Some players mature at 27, 28, 29. I think he's going to mature in a batsman when he's 32, and that's where he is right now.
Helmo, South Africa and India, the series, the ODI series, is tied at 2-2. Virat Kohli scored on a magnificent 138 last night, despite struggling with cramp. He now has 23 tons in 165 matches. Hashim Amla, he scored 21 tons in just 125 matches. And you've got AB de Villiers, who scored a ton last night as well. He scored 22 tons. They're really creeping up in the record books. Who do you pick out of those three players in an ODI game?
Easily AB. AB. He does everything. He sings, he dances, he plays cricket, he plays rugby, soccer. He does everything, that bloke. So definitely AB. Oh, Kohli.
Get around my man Virat.
Probably Kohli, because he's got a few more years probably on Hashim to play for his country. But gee, Amla's just been a really, really good cricketer for a long, long time. And gee, that series is a good series over there at the moment. 2-2, fantastic cricket. No one at the test matches over in Dubai, but there's plenty of people watching these games in India.
I tell you what, you could have a really good afternoon just sitting around watching Virat Kohli's innings just on highlight, just any innings, just a cover drive, watch it on highlight for 5 hours drinking beers. That'd make my afternoon, to be honest with you.
Don't talk about beer, mate. Is Hawkeye turning into a farce, given it may not be available for the day-night test? What's going on with Hawkeye?
Well, coming out of New Zealand earlier in the week, basically, whoever was supposed to be involved in the test, whether it was Channel 9 or Cricket Australia, forgot to let them know the company that does it, because there's different algorithms. Now, this is way over, I think, you and I, both our heads.
A long way over.
But there's different algorithms for the white ball and the red ball. And basically, there was no setup. There was no information given to test the ball with this company. The company said, well, you know what? We haven't been given much of an opportunity. We've done a little bit of it ourselves, but we're really struggling to see how this is going to work. It's great when the pink ball's new, but after that, it's not great. And we don't have an algorithm for it at the moment, and therefore it could be out by a couple of centimetres. Now, that's not important when it's LBW. Don't worry about a couple of centimetres. Who cares?
I'm not quite sure Warnie would have got half his wickets if Hawkeye was around.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's either got to be in the series, the entire series, or not at all.
I agree with you.
And sometimes I look at Hawkeye and I just go, I don't know where that decision's come from. Surely that's not hitting the stumps. Surely that's been plucked out of midair. I think it's got to go. You just have the little map. You get the little blue line up the center of the 3 wickets. You're just checking for pitch in line, and you check for inside edges. Other than that, get rid of Hawkeye.
I think we ought to go to the audience or, phone a friend or something like that. 50-50. Yeah. I reckon.
Now, Virendra Sehwag, a great of Indian cricket. Following his retirement, where do you think he sits in that pantheon of great Indian cricketers?
I think you have obviously Gavaskar, Tendulkar, Dravid, those guys, and then just sitting nicely under them, all the modern cricketers, and especially with T20 and One Day cricket, even though he batted the same in all three formats.
Yep.
Virendra's just under those guys. He was an unbelievable player. He came over here and smashed us in a test series a number of years ago. He's been an icon in Indian cricket. Was probably the best player at the beginning of the IPL. smacking the ball in all parts of the ground.
Did you encounter him at all in the IPL and planning against him?
Unfortunately, we did. when he's playing for Delhi, and now he's been with the Kings 11 in more recent times. He's a bowler. Because he doesn't move his feet, well, you don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
You don't know what he's going to do. He's got reach. He just gets to it. I mean, what sort of opening batsman doesn't move their feet?
Yeah.
And look, he's been an extraordinary player, a fantastic player. They'll miss him. Indian cricket will miss him. Finishing off with you, we talked about earlier about, I suggested maybe two New South Wales teams in the Matador Cup.
Yep.
Ex-chairman of the board for Cricket Victoria, Jeff Tamlin, great fella Tambo, he's suggesting the Bush Rangers brand, done. Finished. No one has a connection with it. Let's have the Renegades or the Stars or both as the state team, the Shield team, the Matador Cup team. What do you reckon?
Nah, it's ridiculous. That is just incredibly silly idea. Look, I understand that Bush Rangers, yeah, they don't have a big following, but the Bush Rangers really are. They're not there for the big following, but they're there to grow the players and to bring up youth so they can get into the test side and create a better test side. So for me, no, I don't think you change it. And also, I think if you bring in the Stars and the Renegades, then they also maybe get a little bit of fatigue as well.
Yeah,
whereas
okay.
If you have 6 weeks, people get pumped. They go, great, I've got Andre Russell. We've got KP coming out. We've got maybe Michael Clarke next year, Shane Warne possibly as well. You really build a sort of a fever pitch atmosphere. Whereas if it's there the entire 6 months, I feel you sort of move away. Your thoughts?
I agree with your second point.
Yep.
But no, I think the Bush Rangers brand, I'm not sure where it sits now. I think Tambo might be onto something. No one goes to the Bush Rangers. No one identifies with the Bush Rangers. I think with the Big Bash, we're seeing a real shift. I mean, back in the day, then we had 43,000 people watch Victoria Tasmania in a T20 game. 11,000 turned up to the West Indies Australia game a week later. I think when we had a T20 team called the Bush Rangers, there was something there for it.
Yep.
But now it's gone.
Well, that's the over completed. Not a bad first over, I feel.
Well, mate. Well played.
Yeah, that's all right. A couple of good cover drives in there. A couple of nice Yorkers. That's about us done for the afternoon. It goes very quickly. Sean Marsh, a good chat.
Fantastic. Sean Marsh, terrific. But look forward to catching up with you next week on the Grippers, mate.